Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
I like the John Potter, baby. Fires left side, got a man there, Stevie catch, touchdown!
Really, we still got action.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Inside the 10, 5-yard line, touchdown, C.J. Spiller!
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football. Right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO. Tonight, Murph's joined by new Buffalo Bills linebacker Kiko Alonso. Also, Mike Reese from ESPN Boston and former UB Bull, now Tampa Bay Buccaneer, Stephen Means. That and your phone calls tonight on The John Murphy Show.
This place is pandemonium!
Touchdown!
From One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Yes, we're on the air on this beautiful Wednesday night. Welcome to the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, coming to you live from our studios at One Bills Drive, where the only thing we lack is a window or a curtain or something. Man, it is beautiful outside. Happy to be here tonight. Yeah, you know, we might as well just move the show right out to training camp now. A night like tonight, I feel like being on the patio there at Grounney Stadium at St. John Fisher. I mean, it feels like that kind of a night, and it'll get us a little bit closer to training camp, too. As we said last night, we're 4 months from the start of the regular season, so that puts us about 3 months from the start of training camp, right? Less than 3 months, actually. You figure late July, the Bills will go to camp. Well, we'll talk about the Bills tonight and the NFL, and, of course, we welcome your comments tonight. A lot to talk about tonight, including the quarterbacks. We're going to talk about quarterbacks, not just E.J. Manuel, but Geno Smith a little bit as well tonight. We want to hear from you about the Bills roster, and in particular, about what's left now to do for Buddy Nix and the personnel department. I mean, the pace has slowed down now. The draft is over. The draft 6 days ago, it began with round one last Thursday night. And what's left now? They've signed their undrafted free agents. We'll talk some about those players as well tonight. But what's missing from this roster 3 months away from training camp for the Bills? What do they need to add? Where are the glaring holes? What did they fail to address in the draft or in the post-draft flurry of college free agent signings? Where are the holes on this roster right now? What do you think? I've had a couple of people send me emails and talk to me about why didn't they get a guard? Why didn't they address the offensive line, the guard position? That's one thing to think about. Tight end, they waited till the seventh round on Saturday to get their tight end, to get a tight end. Chris Gregg drafted in the seventh round. Do they have enough linebackers? Some people aren't so sure about that. Most of us aren't real sure of exactly how the personnel on defense is going to be deployed. But we want to hear from you. We want to hear your opinion. What's missing from this roster? What went unaddressed by the Bills this past weekend in the draft and in their flurry of college free agent signings? What move would you make as you approach training camp about 3 months away now? What position group has you worried as far as depth, as far as actual players to line up and start when the season begins on September 8th? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. The lines are open tonight for that or anything you'd like to talk about. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. As always, you can reach us by following us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. And you can send an email, johnmurphyshow@bills.nfl.com. And that's the variety of different ways to get to us. What's missing for the Bills on the roster? I think I understand people wondering about the guard position. They did not draft a guard this past weekend. They did not draft an offensive lineman this past weekend. And so who's left to play guard? I know people are concerned. Levitre gone. Chad Reinhart gone. We had a look last week at the open practice last week, or 2 weeks ago it is now, at the voluntary offseason workout program. We had a look at what that offensive line might look like, in particular at the guard spot with Levitre gone. And it seemed to be, at least at this stage, a competition between Colin Brown, who has been around for a little bit more than a year, signed as a street free agent a couple of years ago for the Bills, a couple of years he's been there actually. And a guy who's converting over from tackle, it appears, Sam Young, who was acquired off waivers from the Cowboys and had seen some action at on the offensive line at tackle over the last year or two. It would seem to me that those might be the top candidates right now for the starting left guard position for the Buffalo Bills. I don't think you can rule out David Snow either. But, you know, people are concerned. Why didn't they draft a guard? Why didn't they address offensive line depth in this draft? And I get that. That might be your number one area of concern. I do think it indicates that this coaching staff does not think the guards are the premium players on the offensive line. They have a solid center in Eric Wood. They did not elect to, you know, even come close to trying to match what Tennessee was going to pay Andy Levitre, knowing full well that Eric Wood would hit free agency next year as well. They have, I think, some pretty good tackles, young tackles. Cordy Glenn coming up with a good year last year. Chris Hairston got a lot of playing time on the other side. Eric Pierce scheduled to return from his injury. So I do think there's an opportunity there for some young guys to play a tackle. But the guard position, they didn't address it. They didn't draft a guard. They didn't really get too deeply involved on the offensive line when it came to the college free agents. Is that the area that has you concerned? Is it tight end? The Bills waiting until the seventh round in the draft this past Saturday to select a tight end when they chose Chris Gregg, the Arkansas tight end. I mean, there are questions, obviously, about Scott Chandler. Some people interpret the fact that the Bills didn't draft a tight end until the seventh round as evidence that Chandler might be ahead of schedule. Who knows? I mean, we won't know that probably for at least another couple of months or so. But the tight end position, and I think the thing to keep in mind here also is we're not quite sure what that tight end position looks like in this new West Coast-style offense. You know, Lee Smith coming back, obviously a good blocking tight end. Mike Cawson on the roster as well. Scott Chandler with the injury question. You know, maybe there's something we don't know about how they will deploy tight ends, an H-back type of role in this West Coast offense. But give us your thoughts on that. What's missing from the roster? What would you have liked to see addressed by the Buffalo Bills when they that they missed on, in your view, this past weekend? 803-0550, the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. As far as news of the day, pretty quiet out here at One Bills Drive around the league. RG3 making some news. Robert Griffin III is in the ESPN the magazine's cover story this week, and he talks at length about the injury that he suffered last year. RG3 says he will not push to play the next time he has an injury. He says he has learned from his mistakes. RG3, the subject of a cover story in ESPN the magazine. You recall the sequence of events. He hurt his knee when he was hit by Haloti Ngata in a regular season game against Baltimore. Eventually left, Kirk Cousins took over, re-injured the same knee in the first half of the Redskins postseason loss to Seattle, but stayed in the game until the fourth quarter, and then he really got hurt, suffering multiple torn ligaments. Griffin, RG3, told ESPN the magazine his survivor instinct kicked in. He said, "I'm a warrior. I'm a beast. I can push through adversity," but now he admits he will not jeopardize his health again by staying in the game. The quote attributed to RG3, "If I had another incident like the Ngata hit, I'm out of the game." You pull yourself out at that point, you learn from your mistakes. I hope so. I hope he hasn't done permanent damage by staying in and playing with those torn knee ligaments. Just kind of remember the it got a little crazy there in that playoff loss to Seattle about who was in charge. Did RG3 insist on staying on the field? I know Kirk Cousins has talked to, I believe, the ESPN or NFL Network about his view of it. Did Mike Shanahan, should he have played a bigger role in pulling RG3 out of that game before he really got hurt with a knee injury? The doctor escorting Robert Griffin III to the little sideline hut they had to take a look at his knee. There was a lot going on there and a lot of cloudy haziness about exactly how hurt he was and whether he was putting himself in harm's way. I think to his credit, as he goes into his second year, RG3 is talking about being more careful moving ahead. Trade in the NFL today. The Kansas City Chiefs sent cornerback Javier Arenas to the Arizona Cardinals in exchange for fullback Anthony Sherman. Kansas City, with some acquisitions at corner, did not need Javier Arenas anymore. And Arizona, with a new coach, Bruce Arian, in place, really didn't need the fullback, Anthony Sherman, in his attack. So they switched players, kind of like a need trade, like the Bills made early this week for Jerry Hughes. Trade between Arizona and Kansas City today. And now Geno Smith, the Jets general manager, John Idzik, appeared on Sirius XM NFL Radio and said that he feels no pressure to put in Geno Smith right away as quarterback of the Jets, quote, "especially with the cast of quarterbacks we have," thinking, I guess, Mark Sanchez, one of five quarterbacks along with Geno Smith. Idzik, the Jets GM, says, he didn't say specifically, but he said it is likely that they're going to stay with Mark Sanchez for at least one more season. It will be an $8.5 million cap hit if they release him. And so the Jets, apparently, according to Idzik, will take the finances out of it and probably go with Mark Sanchez at quarterback. One more note. This is from the Dolphins. We talked the other night about the Dolphins with Ben Volen of the Palm Beach Post and about Ryan Tannehill, what's to come for him. Well, his coach, his direct coach, offensive coordinator Mike Sherman of the Dolphins, says Ryan Tannehill is going to get a lot better this year. The quote from Mike Sherman: "This young man will be the most improved quarterback in the NFL from year one to year two this year. I promise you that." That's what Mike Sherman told the Dolphins' official website. He says he's working extremely hard. Ryan Tannehill, eighth selection in the first round last year, had a pretty good rookie campaign. Some people like him more than others. Some people like him more than me. I'm not sure what the ceiling is, quite frankly, for Ryan Tannehill and how much better he's going to get than what we saw last year. But he's the Dolphins guy. They have hitched their wagon to Ryan Tannehill. And so it goes. You heard the lineup tonight with what we got coming up. Kiko Alonso, the Bills linebacker, second-round pick, going to join us a little bit later on this hour. Next hour, Mike Reese from ESPN Boston will update us on what's going on with the Patriots. And Stephen Means, UB linebacker, Buffalo High School product, Tampa Bay Bucks draft pick this past weekend. He'll be joining us live at 8:20 tonight. But let's hear from you. What's missing from the Buffalo Bills? What position group did they not address in the draft last week? What concerns you as you look at this Bills roster? Give us a call. Let us know. 803-0550, toll free 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. A tweet from a regular listener and tweeter, Sal Alessi, too, who says, "Could use another offensive lineman, maybe another veteran receiver, as these guys are fast but young." And he also says Tebow for H-back. Not looking for Tebow to come here at all. I don't think that's going to happen, Sal. I don't think they are short of receivers now. Are they young at receiver? Absolutely. I think they're counting on Stevie Johnson, obviously, to be the leader of that group and to be the number one receiver. But they drafted two, as you know, Robert Woods and Marquise Goodwin. Brad Smith, I think, figures into the mix. Kevin Elliott, a guy who could wind up as a fourth or fifth receiver on this team this year. I don't think they view and T.J. Graham. We can't forget about T.J. Graham. Marcus Easley, if he's healthy, could have a role to play. I don't think receiver is a need for this team. Another offensive lineman? Yeah, maybe. Let's hear what the phone callers think. Tom in Rochester. Tom, good evening. Thanks for listening.
Guys, hey, I was just going to say a couple things. One, my area of need, I still think, even though they did trade for the linebacker, I think they still need another veteran presence in there that's been proven to be pretty good. And Dansby, I know they've courted him for a while. I heard that there might still be talks going on, and I'm wondering where that's going, number one. I think they should sign him. Number two, as far as that quarterback, maybe get a cornerback in there, because I know we're still worrying about who's going to be opposite to Gilmore. And number three, last thing I want to say is, a lot of people are still talking a lot about E.J. Emmanuel, and I agree, maybe he can, the potential is there, the upside's there, but I wouldn't count out on Kevin Cobb yet, even though a lot of people are calling him, washed up or this, that, but if you look at more injury-prone, we all know about the offensive line he had out there, and it was terrible, the two worst tackles in the league, arguably, and, all I can say with that is that, if you've got a better line here, I think, in Buffalo, and he started off 4-0 last year with a horrible line, and until he got injured and knocked out, I just see that he could, in a running back like Spiller, and this new offensive scheme to get the ball out of there, almost like a West Coast thing. I really think that, he might turn some heads this year, and he knows he's got competition breathing down his neck. So this is probably his last chance to prove that he could be a starter in the NFL.
Okay, thanks, Tom. I don't disagree with you about Kevin Cobb. In fact, I'm not writing him off as the opening day starter on September 8th. We've talked about that a lot, even since the draft of E.J. Manuel. And boy, the ball came out of his hands pretty good in the practice we saw a couple of weeks ago. I think he's got a live arm. I think Tavarius Jackson has a live arm as well, and I think E.J. Manuel adds a live arm to the mix. It's kind of a different-looking picture at quarterback for the Bills. Cornerbacks, corners, Gilmore and McKelvin, starters. Do you need more corners? I'm not so sure about that. I think they're looking for Justin Rogers, now goes into his third year. I think they need him to step up a little bit. I do think Ron Brooks, going into his second year, will have some playing time that he'll have to earn, but certainly the opportunity is there. Not so sure that they need too much more in the cornerback spot. And as far as linebackers, they got numbers there now. Manny Lawson, a linebacker, Brian Scott, Arthur Motes on the inside, Nigel Bradham, Jerry Hughes added to the picture. Mario Williams actually is, you know, kind of that rush linebacker now for the Bills. Mark Anderson, same deal for him. I think they have some numbers at linebacker. And I think, you know, did I mention Brian Scott, sort of the hybrid guy? I think they're going to surprise you when you see the way this defense lines up and you're not quite able to identify whether a guy is defensive end or linebacker. That's kind of the idea. That's what my sense is of what Mike Pettine wants to create on this defense. Thanks very much for your call. Here is Rob in Charlotte. Rob, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, John. I just wanted to talk about maybe not something that we didn't address with the draft, but a situation I know a lot of Bills fans are going to be monitoring closely, and me included, is definitely Jairus Byrd. I think it's a situation where obviously he's, you know, posturing and using and exercising his rights, you know, through the NFLPA. I don't think it's a relationship that's fractured, but I think it's real important to pay him and bring him back. And the reason I say that is because of the fact of his playmaking ability, which you've talked to it as well in the past. It's really not, it's irreplaceable almost when you can find a player that makes plays and can change situations and change games. And I think Jairus fits that category. Yeah. I think he's put in some good years to deserve it.
No question about that. No question about his value. But are you suggesting, Rob, that Jairus won't play this coming year? Because, I mean, he's going to, unless he's totally insane or getting ridiculous advice, he's going to play this year and he'll take the tender offer. What is it? $6.9 million. And, you know, he's going to play.
$6.9 million. I know he could, we can wait this. It could be a situation where it could get ugly, though, like where Matt Light waited till week nine. And I hope that it's not going to get that far. But I think he's a premium, and I think he knows that he's a premium and respects the free safeties in this league. He's top five. He's top three.
Absolutely, he is.
So maybe he – I don't know what type of advice he's getting. That's a great question. But yeah. I just don't want to see it get ugly where it's a Matt Light situation where he's waiting and he's coming in week nine and we've already got a, you know, head of steam running.
Yeah, I believe his agent is Eugene Parker, who's been around the block a few times. And, again, the with the franchise tag applied – the Bills exercise their rights to keep him, you know, under contract and on the roster for at least 1 year. And Jairus fully exercising his rights not to attend the voluntary offseason conditioning or voluntary veteran minicamp just yet. If we get to the point where you get to the mandatory minicamp, which is, what are we looking at, 5 weeks away now, Tuesday, June 11. And if Jairus Byrd's not here for the mandatory minicamp, then we got a problem. But I don't anticipate that. He's a smart guy. He knows, I mean, I can't imagine there's even hard feelings. You know, the Bills exercising their rights to tag him and keep him on the roster, and Jairus doing what he could do with the only shred of any possible leverage he might have, not showing up for the voluntary mini camps. Russ Brandon, questioned about it on Saturday here at the stadium, said they do want to sign him to a long-term deal. It's, you know, it's a question of money, obviously. That's professional football. It's a question of finding the number that will keep him here and to keep both sides happy. Are they going to find that? There's no guarantee. But for this year, at least, I wouldn't worry. I mean, Jairus Byrd has no real viable alternative. I don't think he'll, you know, elect to sit out, you know, 9 weeks or whatever. I mean, that's crazy. That's just giving up money. That guy's a player. I think he wants to play. Let's go to Ken in Fort Erie, Ontario. Hi, Ken.
Yeah, hi, John. How are you doing?
Okay.
Good. Just wanted to ask you about Brian Massif. It must have been a tough call for Coach Marone to not pick him, eh?
Marone stated that a couple of times over the weekend, both on Thursday night and again at the conclusion of the draft on Saturday. He mentioned that, you could tell there was, I mean, heartache, basically, for lack of a better term, on Doug Marone's part to see, Nassib kind of twisting in the wind, waiting until the fourth round to be selected.
I got one more question I wanted to ask you. It's about the past. Was Chuck Healy the announcer for the Buffalo Bills?
Chuck Healy, boy, that's going way back. He was not. You know, Van was the play-by-play guy, right, from the inception?
Yeah.
1960 till...
Was, eh?
Yeah,
okay.
Until like...
I missed that one.
Seven or eight years.
I'm a little bit older.
Yeah. I don't think Chuck Healy ever worked on Bill's broadcast. I could be wrong about that. I know back in the day, when I was a little kid in the 60s, they employed a variety of different announcers. Dick Reifenberg was used as, I think, a sideline guy or a second color guy. Stan Barron, obviously, had a great run as a color analyst on the Bills broadcast. Van obviously was the play-by-play guy for the first, I want to say, 15 years of the Bills on the radio, and I don't know that Chuck Healy, the longtime news and sportscaster at Channel 4, ever was part of the Bills broadcast. I don't recall that being the case. Ray and Kenmore, hi Ray, you're on the air.
John, great show.
Thanks.
Well, this isn't a call about what Chuck Healy did. They used to have a show on TV, the four of them, the three you mentioned, and Chuck Healy and Bill's Roundtable. I don't know if you remember it. It was a while ago. It was called Let's Talk Sports.
I remember that.
It was great.
Yeah, I remember that.
But Chuck Healy used to do, like, bowling and wrestling and stuff like that, and he did news.
Yeah.
The reason I actually called is, Kiko Alonso, I mean, with Shepard being traded, Kiko Alonso looks to me more like an outside guy. If they do line up in a conventional 4-3, who do you see as the middle linebacker? Is it, would you say, Nigel Bradham? Or because, I mean, I really don't. It's, and not Chris White, obviously. So, I mean, they don't really seem to have. They have a lot of guys that can play on the outside. And Jerry Hughes is built more like a middle linebacker, really, than Alonzo is.
Yeah. I don't. From what I understand, Ray, there's not going to be a whole lot conventional about what they do defensively. So to talk about a conventional 4-3 might not be that instructive here. I do think Kiko Alonso, I mean, Buddy Nix sat over here in the studio the other night, a couple of nights ago, and talked about Kiko Alonso as a potentially inside-outside guy. Arthur Motes, I think, could have a role to play at the linebacker spot as an inside guy. Nigel Bradham as well. So those would be the three guys. I mean, if it's anything, it'll be more of like my guess is two inside linebackers. But it's all from, again, we're just getting hazy bits of information about what they plan to do defensively. A lot of it is, guys being versatile, and guys like Bradham in particular being outside one down and inside the next down. Same for Kiko Alonso, who we're going to talk to here in a minute. I do think they're looking for guys to play a little bit of both. And the quote from Buddy two nights ago, I can look it up here, but he essentially said as much that in Mike Pettine's defense, the concept of, you know, weak side and Mike linebacker, middle linebacker, and outside linebacker is basically meaningless.
And strong safety.
And strong safety, free safety. Yeah, those concepts are meaningless in Mike Pettine's defense. So a lot of it, in fact, Mark Kelso was in here last night, if you caught the tail end of the show, and I begged him to please show up at the veteran minicamp in a couple of weeks so that he could basically let us know, you know, who was playing where on defense, because it's hard to follow in the one practice we're able to watch. Hard to tell who's lining up where when they're lining up at a different spot on virtually every down. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be versatile. We'll see if it works. I don't know. All right, we're going to take a break and then talk to one of the guys who I do think has a role to play in that defense this year as a rookie. Second-round draft pick from Oregon, Kiko Alonso. We're going to get him on the phone and talk to him when we return. We'll get back to this topic, too. What's missing now from the Bills personnel mix? What did they not address as they did put together their draft and their college free agents this past weekend? Give us a call, and when we come back, we'll get to more phone calls. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We'll talk more, though, and we'll talk with Kiko Alonso, Bills rookie linebacker, in just a moment. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're at One Bills Drive, and we are on the line with one of the Bills' second-round draft picks from last year, the linebacker out of Oregon, Christian Kiko Alonso. Kiko is on the line with us. Thanks for coming on with us tonight, Kiko.
Thanks for having me.
Who gave you the nickname Kiko?
Parents.
Right off the bat, huh? Christian was too much? They just wanted to call you Kiko right out of the bat, huh?
Yeah, give me a young age. I don't really know why they gave
me. It's a good one. Hey, you're a native of Los Gatos, California, up in Northern California, which many Bills fans will remember was the same hometown of former quarterback here, Trent Edwards. Did he, in fact, go to Los Gatos High School even?
Yeah.
And what do you remember Trent, or did you have any run-ins with Trent over the years?
I've met him. You know, I don't know him really well, but we didn't go to high school together. Obviously, he was a few years past me, but I've met him a few times. He's a real good guy.
Looking into your background a little bit, Kiko, it strikes me that you basically come from kind of a baseball-oriented family. Your father was interested in baseball, and you have an older brother who is he still in minor league baseball? Your older brother?
Yeah, my older brother is in the minor league system with the Phillies. You know, I grew up playing baseball. My dad's big baseball player growing up as well. So once I started playing football, baseball started becoming less important.
Yeah, what was it about football that you liked better than baseball?
It's everything, just contact. You know, baseball just became boring ever since I started playing. play football.
Yeah, you hear that a lot. Hey, Kiko, talk about this process the last couple of months or so, you know, since leading up to the draft. When did you become aware that the Buffalo Bills were interested in you as adding you to the roster here?
Probably at the combine. I interviewed with them at the combine, so I just figured any team that interviewed me at the combine was interested.
What kind of questions did they have for you at the combine? What do they want to know about?
You know, just regular questions, just trying to get to know me, seeing if I know football.
One of the things they've talked about here since they did draft you last Friday was, you know, your versatility, the fact that you're big, but you can also play outside, inside. How much do you think that factored into the Bills' decision to choose you in the second round?
You know, I think it factored a lot. I think that made my draft stock or upside better because my ability to do several things. So I think that definitely helped me a lot and definitely helped me with the Bills. Put me higher than some other guys. But I feel like I can definitely play a bunch of spots because at Oregon, I was all over the field playing many different spots, so I feel like I'm definitely capable of doing that.
You played at Oregon, obviously, and you had the 1 year where you were suspended, 2010 season. That you went through a lot there, and you really had some troubling times up there at Oregon, right? You feel like that's all behind you now?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I was young and immature, made some mistakes. You know, I put in my past and I haven't looked back. Just been focusing on football, and I know that's the career I've chosen, and that's what I'm going to do. I mean, I'm not going to make any mistakes off the field to compromise my football career.
It sounds like Coach Chip Kelly up there at Oregon had pretty much a zero-tolerance policy for misdeeds, for, you know, in your case, DUI. I mean, he wasn't fooling around after a while up there, was he?
Yeah. No, not at all. I mean, if you're on the field, then you're not going to be on the field, so that's what happens.
Did the Bills talk to you about that, either at the combine or even since the draft? Did they inquire about where you're at with that now?
Yeah. I mean, they wanted to see where I was at, and then I told them basically what I just told you. That's about it.
Kiko, since, you know, the suspension and the troubles you had up there, how important was the Rose Bowl game a couple of years ago against Wisconsin and sort of, you know, putting new life into your football career at Oregon?
I think it helped me. I mean, definitely. I mean, I played a pretty good game. And then I think maybe I got recognized a little more. But, you know, I played the whole season, so it wasn't anything from the end of the game. I try and play every game and put out performances like that. But, you know, luckily I was able to do that at the Rose Bowl, which, yeah, it definitely helped a lot at the Rose Bowl.
I saw that one of your coaches at Oregon, Coach Todd Light, called that your coming out party. You were the defensive MVP in that Rose Bowl game.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people said. That was probably my best game that year, so I think that's probably why people say that, definitely.
Hey, Kiko, did you room with Deion Jordan at Oregon at least one of the years when you were up there?
Oh, yeah, I lived with him all my years, basically.
What kind of a guy is he? Third overall pick to the Dolphins last Thursday night. What can you tell us about him?
He's a great guy. He's everything you want in a football player. I think he could have been first overall, honestly. You know, he can do it all. He can run down kickoffs. He can obviously sack a quarterback and go cover people. He's amazing.
You obviously followed his selection Thursday night. Did you hear from him since you were picked by the Bills, and now you're both in the same division in the AFC East?
Yeah. I actually have a few friends for the Dolphins. I got Josh Cadu, who I also live with, and he plays for the Dolphins, and Mikey Clay, they just picked him up. All of us played Oregon. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, I've heard it said that even with Chip Kelly's reputation as like an offensive genius, that maybe the Oregon defense was really the key to Oregon's success the last few years. Do you guys feel that way?
No, I don't think it was the key. I mean, can't win games without defense. But also, I mean, it's nice when your offense puts up 50 points. You know, it just went hand in hand. The defense just needs to know that they're going to play a lot of snaps because the offense doesn't like to waste time. They'll be out there for sometimes 10, 20 seconds, and then we're back on the field. So, he's really need to be in shape.
Talking with Kiko Alonso, the Bills' second-round draft pick out of Oregon. And now let's talk about as you move forward into your NFL career, Kiko. Do you view yourself as a three-down linebacker in the NFL for the Bills?
Yes, sir, definitely.
And what role did they spell out for you? What do they have in mind for you here on the defense?
They haven't really gotten into much detail. They just said they'd see me at the mic position.
And what about covering tight ends and pass coverage in general? Is that something that they have in mind for you? Is that something you feel like you could do?
We haven't gotten into that, but, you know, I think I can definitely do that over tight ends. But
Hey, Kiko, how eager are you to get up here next week for the rookie mini camp? Are you looking forward to that?
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait to, you know, get back into football in a while.
What do you think it'll be like those, I guess it's a three-day camp late next week. Do you think you'll feel like you're overwhelmed by what they're going to present you, playbook-wise, that sort of thing?
No, I mean, get ready to look at the playbook and get out there. For a rookie mini camp, it's pretty tough conditioning-wise, but you know, I feel like I'm going to be ready for that, and I can't wait to play football and start with the Bills.
Well, we look forward to meeting you next week, Kiko. Thanks a lot for coming on the show with us tonight.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Kiko Alonso, the Bills' second-round draft pick, on the line with us from his home out in California. Just 22 years old, he will turn 23 in the middle of training camp on August 14th. An interesting prospect. A guy, you know, who it's been pointed out had 17 starts in his career at Oregon. And you know, you've heard the story by now how he was out the entire 2010 season, got a little bit of playing time in 2009, had the DUI that kept him off the field, a one-year suspension imposed. That's what I was referring to when I talked about the zero-tolerance policy that year by Chip Kelly out at Oregon. Still had some issues after that. You know, it says he's put it behind him, and I believe in second chances. I know how impressed I was with Buddy Nix. Last week, on Friday night, when he talked about Alonso and his checkered past with the DUI arrest and running with the law when he had another drinking incident and wound up making a bad mistake as far as entering a house that he wasn't sure where he was, arrested for that. Buddy Nix indicated that they've done their homework on him, and they're looking forward to giving him a second chance. That was a couple of years ago for a 22-year-old kid now, so this all went down when he was 20 years old. I believe in second chances, and the ball really is in his court if he can, you know, keep on the straight and narrow and become a football player, which it appears he has the ability to do at a very high level. Kiko Alonso, outside linebacker, inside linebacker. One draft publication, Our Lads, my favorite, referred to him as a poor man's Jack Lambert. Pretty high praise, a poor man's Jack Lambert. There are the off-field red flags and some bad decisions, but even Arlad says he has matured, according to officials at Oregon. 17 starts in 36 games, captain of the defense for Oregon, a very good defense. Some people think he was the best defender on the field for the Oregon Ducks, ahead of Deion Jordan. Going to be very interesting to see how Kiko Alonso plays out. And I do think, when we talked about what's still missing from the roster, what needs to happen, don't overlook his role, and even if it's situational, as far as an inside-outside guy, don't overlook his role in handling Rob Gronkowski, if he's healthy, and the Patriots' tight ends. Talk about the jam at the line of scrimmage. At least you got a matchup, physical matchup for Gronkowski when you talk about Alonso and even the big safeties who can run and cover that they drafted a little bit later on in the draft. Going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out. The question on the table, what's missing from the roster? What did the Bills not address through the draft or through the college free agents? And we've got the phone lines open if you want to address that. 803-0550, the number toll free, 1-888-550-2550. I know people are concerned about guards. They did not draft a guard. They did not sign a guard that could step in and play. I do think that between Colin Brown and Sam Young, one of those two is going to wind up as the starter at left guard, at least at this point. I think it's going to be one of those two, and I think that's what they're counting on. I don't think it appears that they put much premium on guards, especially when it comes to paying them, you know, box guard numbers like the Tennessee Titans paid to Andy Levitre. And I think you're looking at kind of a different offensive approach. They tailored a lot of what they did on offense last year, the last couple of years, tailored around the mobility and the athleticism of Andy Levitre. They used him to lead block, to pull and run. And if they don't have Andy Levitre, they'll do something else. Maybe you know, a little bit more zone blocking techniques from those interior offensive linemen. Oh, it's going to be great when it all starts happening. Give us your thoughts. What's missing? Is it a tight end that's missing from this roster? Is it a linebacker? Is there something else you'd like to see? Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, at John Murphy Show, and give us your opinions there. Here's a tweet, actually, from Sal Alessi. I hope Kiko has kicked his drinking issues, and I think we all do. I think we all wish him well. Going to take a break, come back with more. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
A couple of minutes left in this hour, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. And then next hour, we're going to take a look at the Patriots. Going to see what they're up to after the draft. They traded right out of the first round and picked up some extra picks from Minnesota. We'll talk with Mike Reese of ESPN Boston at 8 o'clock. And then at 8:20, Stephen Means, the UB linebacker, drafted to play for the Tampa Bay Bucks in the fifth round last weekend. We're talking a little bit about the Bills tonight and what holes are still there on the Buffalo Bills roster. What do you see as the needs that they left undressed in the draft or in the college free agent signings announced on Monday? If you have thoughts on that, now's the time to chime in. 803-0550, the number toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. And before I forget, if you're obviously you're interested in the Bills and interested in E.J. Manuel, you ought to take a look at BuffaloBills.com. There's a tremendous video story posted today. Mike Adamack, who works with us in digital media, followed the Bills to the draft at Radio City last Thursday night. Behind-the-scenes access with E.J. Manuel both before and after he was selected by the Buffalo Bills. Basically, they followed E.J. from the time he arrived at Radio City to his selection by the Bills to backstage at Radio City and doing the media backstage, and then on a private jet flying to Buffalo, late Thursday night, and then his day here at One Bills Drive last Friday, and all access pass. You know, you get to see E.J. Coming into the room to say hello to head coach Doug Marrone and GM Buddy Nix and the Bills Brain Trust. You get to see E.J. talking with quarterback Jim Kelly and a conversation they had out on the practice field. It's a great video story. It's up there at BuffaloBills.com. E.J. Manuel's first day as a Buffalo Bill. You want to check it out. BuffaloBills.com. That's your go-to place for all kinds of information about the Bills. Here's a call from Michael in Washington. Hi, Michael. You're on the air.
Hey, John. Huge fan calling you from the nation's capital. I listen to you every night almost on the WGR app, and
great.
I love it.
Thanks, Michael.
Hey, look. One of the things that's been weighing on my mind lately is, you know, how are the Bills going to be any different this year in utilizing Fred Jackson and T.J. Spiller? I don't know if I can stomach another season of having split carries between the two. I mean, I think, look, I love Fred Jackson, love him to death. He's a great player, but you got to give the ball more to T.J. Spiller. He's the guy that can rip off these huge runs. Am I insane in thinking that? And also, too, if you heard anything at all, any rumblings on how they're going to use the two this year under Doug Marrone.
No, you're not insane on this anyway, Michael. I would say that your sensibility is probably accurate, that they do. I do get the feeling that they want to get even more carries, more touches for C.J. Spiller on the ground and through the air. I don't think they're going to make a pronouncement about it or make a big deal about it. And I do think there's a role for Fred Jackson to play, particularly short yardage, tough yardage between the tackles. But look, there's no question C.J. Spiller has emerged as the bell cow back here for the Buffalo Bills based on his performance last year. And they know that. And a brand new coaching staff, as much as I'm sure they appreciate what Fred Jackson does, I think they know that they have a game-breaking, home-run-hitting type of running back in C.J. Spiller. I would look for him to get even more carries, more touches this year than he got last year. I mean, it happened last year, right, in the course of the season, mostly because of the injuries to Fred early and late in the season, but C.J. became the go-to guy, and he wound up with 207 carries last year, and he wound up with 43 catches. So what are we talking about? 250 touches for C.J. Spiller. I think you're looking at, at least 300 touches, maybe somewhere near the 350 mark for C.J. Spiller if things go well this year. Thanks for listening. Yeah. Thanks for your call. And let's go to Andy in Chicago. Hello, Andy. You're on the show with us. Good evening, Andy. Welcome.
How are you, Murph?
Okay.
Good. So I just want to jump. They talk about the drafting of Woods as the most polished or NFL ready. And my thought is if they would have plugged that hole through somebody in free agency or made it attractive enough for somebody to go there in free agency, they wouldn't have had to go with the most NFL ready guy as if that's something positive and go with the best prospect who will be the best receiver 2-3 years down the road. I'm a little puzzled as to why they didn't fill that number two receiver spot with so many guys, other than just frankly, receivers weren't going to touch Buffalo without a quarterback. Free agent receivers weren't even going to look at us without a quarterback. I get your thoughts on that.
Well, before I let you go, which free agent receiver would you be thinking of?
Well, you got Darius Heyward-Bey out there. There was a number of quality number two guys. Mike Wallace was not probably the guy that we would have looked at based upon from what we hear about his personality, but even Greg Jennings, any of the top 10 guys, you pick one that you want, and they probably aren't going to touch Buffalo based upon the quarterback.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that Manuel solves that problem and it becomes a more attractive place to come to. But I think that it's still the main issue for Buffalo and us, and I'm a fan, is is that we're just not going to attract the talent unless we turn the ship around.
Yeah, well, there's that. There's money. I mean, it's obviously cheaper to have a rookie receiver, a rookie anybody, than it would be to overpay for a free agent out there on the market. I don't know who they missed out on. I'm going to take another look during the break coming up here who they, you know, might have been interested in the free agent market and receiver. But I don't, off the top of my head, I can't think of anybody that they missed out on or maybe would have been a good fit here. But let me look at that during the break. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the Patriots for a while with Mike Reese, who covers that team for ESPN Boston. Stephen Means, who is going from UB to the Tampa Bay Bucks, will join us next hour as well. And we'll set aside some time for your phone calls. An hour to go, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Time is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it?
I don't know what we're yelling about.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back. It is hour two of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, coming to you from One Bills Drive. And as we've done all week, we want to check in with the Bills AFC East Division cousins. We talked about the Dolphins last night. We talked about the Jets on Monday night. And now we talk about the evil empire in Foxborough, the New England Patriots. On the line with us, the man who covers the Patriots for ESPN Boston, Mike Reese. Mike, thank you very much for being on the air with us.
John, it's great to be on with you. And can I tell Bill Belichick that they're referred to as the evil empire in Western New York?
I have a feeling he probably already knows that. He probably already. And he, of course, is Darth Vader with the hoodie. You know that. You've seen all that. Hey, we want to get your thoughts on what went on last weekend for the Patriots in the draft and maybe some of the moves that have been made both in the draft and outside the draft. And the thing that strikes me, first of all, is the fact that the Patriots traded out of the first round. There was nobody they valued that much in the first round that they needed to stay in there and get at pick number 29.
They really, I don't want to say they didn't like the draft, John, but that when they looked at this draft, they felt like its true value was in the second, third, and slightly into the fourth round. So basically, they did see some first-round type talent in the draft, but picking at number 29, they felt like the player they would get there really didn't differ much from the player they would be getting in the second and third round. So what they did was back out of there, and they actually got a total of four picks out of it. So they picked up a second-rounder, a third rounder, a fourth rounder, and a seventh rounder, and they felt like the 4-for-1 exchange based on where they were picking to bump down 23 spots from 29 to 52 was the way to go.
Then I thought it was notable too that five of their seven picks came on the defensive side of the ball. Talk about that, Mike.
Well, that's a good point, and this is 2 years in a row now that the Patriots have really had defensive-heavy drafts. And then if you even want to go back to 2011 with a cornerback, Rozai Dowling, the first pick of the second round, and the year before that, 2010, Devin McCourty, cornerback in the first round. They have devoted a lot of draft capital to the defense over the last 2 years, really, and going back to 4 years, and to me, that's sort of Bill Belichick's way of saying, this defense isn't where I need it to be, where we need to be to win a Super Bowl, and that's really priority number one for me as I build this team.
Their first pick, second round, the linebacker from Southern Mississippi, Jamie Collins. Talk about him and why he appealed to the New England Patriots, Mike.
Well, Jamie Collins is 6'3", 250 pounds, and if you talk to scouts and coaches that worked on him leading up to the draft, probably the first word they will tell you is athletic, ultra athletic. His broad jump at the combine was 11.7. He almost outjumped the entire markings that they had there, which stopped at 12. So you get a player that has unusual athleticism, but that played on a winless team at Southern Mississippi. So I think a player that didn't have his motor going all the time, and maybe that's why he dropped
to the second round. But it's going to be fascinating up here in New England to see how Bill Belichick uses Jamie Collins, because I know teams that run a 4-3 probably viewed him as closer to like a lighter pass-rushing defensive end. Belichick, in sort of a hybrid 3-4, 4-3 system, might have him stand up and play outside linebacker, might have him play off the line in more of a coverage role. He can do different things, and Belichick likes players that are versatile. That's going to be something we're going to watch closely with.
Hey, Mike, ever since we got a look at Aaron Dobson at the Senior Bowl in the end of January, I like this kid a lot. The Patriots got him in the second round. What role do they envision for Aaron Dobson, the wideout for Marshall?
Well, if things go according to plan, think Randy Moss, back in 07, 08, 09, and his years with the Patriots, that outside-type receiver who nicely complements your tight ends, Gronkowski and Hernandez in the middle of the field, and your slot receiver, no longer Wes Welker, now Danny Amendola. Dobson, a different type of receiver, bigger at almost 6'3", about 210 pounds. So if they can get him sort of integrated into this offense in that outside-type receiving role, I think their feeling is it can balance out their passing game where they're not so easy, not I wouldn't say easy to defend, because as you can attest to from having watched them, I mean, they're a tough offense to defend, but I think defenses know, hey, if we can somehow clog up the middle of the field and focus our resources in that area, not sure they have the best options to beat us on the outside, and maybe that's where Dobson comes into play.
Before we get back to some of these draft picks, I just want to kind of focus on the Patriots wide receiver position. Where do you, what's the chance that Danny Amendola A, stays healthy for New England, and B, is able to fill in and play the Wes Welker role for them?
Well, that's the big question, because I don't think too many people doubt Amendola's talent. It's just whether he can stay on the field. And if there's one thing that you can say a lot of things about what Wes Welker did here over six seasons, but to me, the most impressive thing was how durable, how reliable, and just how mentally and physically tough Welker was to take all those big hits, keep getting back up, and really never missing a game. He was always available. So no one knows the answer to that here, John, and that's going to be something we're going to watch closely, because the Patriots obviously made the decision that they would only go so far for Welker, so they obviously feel comfortable with this. I think there's a lot of unease here in New England that maybe they let the proven thing go for a player that hasn't proven he can stay on the field. So I think, when you look at this receiver position, overall, Bill Belichick made the point that they're basically redoing the whole position. You have one player that's basically caught passes from Tom Brady still on the roster, and that's Julian Edelman. So a whole new look for the Patriots receivers this year. A
couple of other receivers, and one that Bills fans are familiar with, Donald Jones, who was signed fairly early in the free agency period. Is there still room for Donald Jones after some of the other additions they've made?
Man, he was one of the players that I think was most affected by the draft, because the Patriots not only drafted Aaron Dobson, but also in the fourth round they selected receiver Josh Boyce out of Texas Christian. And so when I looked at the roster this morning for a post we did on our site on ESPN Boston, I was looking at players that I felt were most affected, their chances for a roster spot. And I did put Donald Jones on there, saying that I thought he'd be vying for probably a fifth spot at the position, maybe a sixth spot if everyone was healthy. A lot's going to depend. I mean, they didn't give him any guaranteed money, John. So, I mean, they're not on the hook for anything. Mm-hmm. It's not like, let's say, they gave him $1 million up front. Maybe as a coaching staff, you sort of want to see this work, so you maybe try to force it a little bit. They're not obligated to him financially, really, for anything. So I put him on the bubble. So when we make a list of players to watch closely in camp to say, this guy's got to prove something to make a spot on the roster, I'd put Donald Jones right in that category.
And one more receiver I want to ask you about, and you made note of a college free agent from Missouri, T.J. Moe, who potentially could be a Welker type?
Yeah, interesting guy. When I talked to him, he signed as a rookie free agent for the Patriots, and apparently they were pretty competitive for him in terms of offering him some pretty good guaranteed money, maybe about $30,000 to sign with them, which tells you, that they had some competition for him, from other teams. So T.J. Moe out of Missouri didn't run a fast 40 time. It was about high four sixes, and that probably led him to sliding from, let's say, late-round consideration to rookie free agent. But he had a very fast three-cone drill time at the combine. That's sort of one of those drills that measures change of direction, and the Patriots really like to use that drill as a measure for, you know, how shifty their slot receivers could be. So this is an intriguing guy, maybe from that rookie free agent mold, like a Welker, like an Amendola, who has maybe some seasoning needed to maybe emerge, but could be a find here as a rookie free agent for the Patriots.
We're on the line with Mike Reese. He covers the Patriots for ESPN Boston. It's the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Back to the draft and the Rutgers round, the third round. You mentioned a moment ago, Mike, that you know, Belichick's been swinging and I guess missing a lot on some defensive players over the last couple of years, but certainly in the third round, it appears he's trying to fix his problems in the secondary there, huh?
He is, and I think Coach Marone could offer some great insight just on sort of, you know, the Rutgers connection, just having come from Syracuse and maybe being a little familiar with that program and whatnot. But so basically there's two things here with the Patriots and their third-round picks. We're both from Rutgers, cornerback Logan Ryan, and this strikes me as a very solid pick. 5'11", good size, about 200 pounds. Didn't run particularly well, and that's probably why he slipped to the third round. But a physical tackler, which they really like in New England with their cornerbacks, their, you know, even their, obviously their safeties, but very good ball skills. When the Patriots looked at the cornerbacks in this draft, they identified Logan Ryan as one of the most disruptive in terms of batting passes down, interceptions and whatnot. The curious pick, John, was the safety at the end of the third round, Daron Harmon, 91st overall. And the pick was so curious, and I'm not sure if anyone picked up on this out in Western New York, that when it was announced on TV, neither the NFL Network or ESPN had no highlights for him.
Huh.
Because he wasn't, you know, he was viewed as a later round guy or maybe even a free agent type. And it sort of sparked discussion up here in New England as, what does Bill Belichick see in these Rutgers players? Because he drafted three this year, a linebacker in the seventh round, in addition to the two guys in the secondary that we're talking about. He has Devin McCourty, a first-round pick out of Rutgers from 2010, Justin Francis, a rookie free agent last year, defensive end outside linebacker type, and then he's going to sign another Rutgers kid as a rookie free agent this year. So a lot of questions out here to say, hey, we'd feel better in New England if he was doing this with, like, Alabama, LSU, some of the bigger programs. But there's obviously a connection to Rutgers that Belichick feels. Probably goes back to his friendship with Greg Schiano and also the fact that Belichick's own son, Stephen Belichick, who's an assistant coach on the Patriots staff, used to play for Rutgers. So some interesting dynamics there.
Yeah, I never thought of that. Mike, tell me about Adrian Wilson, the longtime Arizona Cardinals defensive back safety, 12 years in the league. What role can you project for him? It has, to me, it sort of reminds me of the Rodney Harrison acquisition of a decade or so ago.
Yeah, I think it's a good comparison in terms of style of play, like the idea of bringing in a physical safety, a bigger safety. That's the first thing that strikes you when you see Adrian Wilson, and we talked to him this week at the Patriots facility. He's 6'3", 230 pounds. I mean, you'd think you were talking to a linebacker. I mean, I think he's bigger than Brian Scott, who would be listed as a linebacker, maybe in the old Bill scheme. I don't know what he would be going forward, but so the size, the physicality, I think that's something when you looked at the Patriots safeties last year and think about Donald Jones' big touchdown when he sort of sliced through that secondary against the Patriots, smaller guys, Steve Gregory from the Chargers, who they had brought in last year, smaller safety, Devin McCourty, who they moved from cornerback to safety, smaller safety, you know, sub 200 pound guy. Adrian Wilson brings a presence that they hope maybe probably play more in the box, and they're going to have to see how he does in coverage, because with the Cardinals last year, they took him off the field in the back half of the season in passing situations. So I would say maybe sub-package linebacker, maybe, you know, playing closer to the line of scrimmage, depending on how he looks in training camp. Maybe he can do more than that.
Interesting. This one kind of got lost, I think, over draft weekend, the trade for LeGarrette Blount, the running back from Tampa Bay. Where does he fit into the scheme of things there in New England?
Yeah, and this one could go in a couple different directions, Don. I would say, you know, bigger back, goal line, short yardage guy. You know, so instead of maybe saying, hey, let's get a big fullback in here, so when we need a couple yards, you know, now maybe we just go with a big back. And that's the thought there at almost 245 pounds. He's bigger than any back the Patriots had and bigger than most of the backs in the league. Sort of his style reminds me a little bit of Corey Dillon when he was with the Patriots, and that's not to compare him to Dillon because that's not fair to Dillon himself, who had a much more productive career. And, of course, Blunt has only been in the league for a couple of years. But I think that idea of just maybe a little more physicality out of a running back, they only traded a seventh-round pick. I think the question is, for the player who's had some on- and off-the-field altercations, you really don't know if you're going to be able to count on him. You hope you are because you like what you see from a football perspective, but you don't know. So I would say he might be on the team. He might not be on the team. All you had to give up was a seventh-round pick for him and a player in Jeff Demps who was no longer part of your future, so you take a shot at it. I don't think he all of a sudden becomes the lead back. They have Steven Ridley, a third-round pick out of LSU a couple of years ago, and Shane Vereen, a second-round pick out of Cal from a couple of years ago, and I think those two would be at the top of the depth chart with Blunt after him, along with Leon Washington and maybe Brandon Bolden, who you remember up in sure. Orchard Park last year, had a big day against the Bills.
Mike Reese, our guest, he covers the Patriots for ESPN Boston. Just a couple of more Patriots questions for you, Mike. What's the status of Western New York's own Rob Gronkowski and his broken arm and in slow recovery from that broken arm?
Yeah, been a concern for the Patriots with multiple surgeries since he broke the arm, the forearm, back last November. I wish I had more concrete information to pass along. I know that I don't expect to see him at any mini camps, this off season. I think right now they're trying to figure out the status of this infection that has lingered a little bit, and maybe they have the answers, maybe they don't. Unfortunately, I don't have them right now, only to say that this is something that obviously didn't go as planned. I think they feel like in time everything will be fine, but the question is when will in time be? And they had said at the start of this, John, that they had the whole off season and time wasn't an issue. Well, it became an issue because no one was anticipating this infection would still be a problem for him.
Mike, when you think of coaches and teams that might be able to fit the square pegs into round holes, and you think of the Patriots, I think, and I wonder if there was any interest at all in Tim Tebow and maybe finding a role for him to play in New England's offense.
My take on this one is I wouldn't rule it out, and that doesn't come from any inside information. But the reason I say I wouldn't rule it out is, and you're absolutely right about this whole idea of square peg and round hole, I would focus less on the position. I don't think they would view him as coming in as a quarterback or anything like that, but more for the presence. You know, I go back to like when Belichick signed Doug Flutie in 2005, when he signed other players along the way. You know, there's something Belichick likes about adding that type of presence, that type of example to his locker room. And there's also, I think, and this is my opinion, I think he'd almost like the idea of quieting the circus. You know, the idea of, ESPN brought out a whole set to the Jets camp last year because of Tebow for training camp. Well, he'll be on our team, and you know what? There'll be no ESPN set here because we're not going to make Tim Tebow available to the media. Tebow won't be talking because the example he'll set is that the Patriots program is bigger than him. Could Belichick take that on? Would he want to take on that distraction? My hunch is no, but I'm saying don't rule it out because Belichick has made decisions like that in the past.
Would he do it for football reasons, or would he do it just to prove a point about, who's in charge, I guess, what kind of program?
Yeah. I think a combination. Yeah. Probably not one that's black and white because I think for football reasons, you'd obviously have to think of a role for him. And whether that's at quarterback, I mean, I find that hard to believe, although Josh McDaniels, the Patriots offensive coordinator, was a guy who drafted him in Denver with a first-round pick. So maybe it would be as a quarterback. Maybe it would be as a tight end H-back type. Maybe it would be as a special teams-only guy, which we know Belichick loves those types. You know, he devotes roster spots to those types. And then on top of that, so you'd have to have something there that you'd see that, hey, he could provide some value. As long as there's a little something there, I do think he'd love the idea of having him around, the guy that would be the first in the weight room every day, that would put the team first and would maybe send a positive ripple effect through the locker room.
Oh, that's weird. Hey, ever since the schedule came out a couple weeks ago, Mike, the Bills and Patriots now start to circle each other. Do you think the Bills would dare start a rookie, E.J. Manuel, in his first NFL game up against the Belichick defense?
Well, I wouldn't say no. And part of the reason is that in recent years, Belichick has this reputation as, tough for a rookie quarterback to go up against a Belichick coach defense. And if we were going back to the 2001, 2003, 2004 seasons, I think that was well-earned. But, you know, in recent years, I've seen some quarterbacks, you know, carve them up pretty good. So I don't think I would hesitate if I was Coach Marrone in terms of that mindset. I mean, if he outplays Kevin Cobb, who I would remind everyone in Western New York came up here with the Cardinals last year, week two of the season, and beat the Patriots, if he felt like Manuel was better than Cobb, I wouldn't hesitate to do it because of Belichick's reputation. I think this defense has shown some signs of vulnerability in recent years, and if it was the Steelers maybe or some of the Ravens, I might think differently, but I think this is a Patriots defense that's still trying to find its way a little bit.
That's going to be a great way to start the season, Mike. I hope we get a chance to talk to you about it as we move forward. Thank you very much for being with us on the air tonight. We appreciate it.
And thanks for having me.
Mike Reese covers the Patriots as a reporter, analyst for ESPN Boston, talking about their draft, about some of their acquisitions, and talking about the season opener, which is just about 4 months away, the Bills and the Patriots on Sunday, September 8th. It's the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Mike Reese from ESPN Boston. A comprehensive review of what's going on with the Patriots. Always interesting. So the last three nights, we've had Patriots tonight, Dolphins last night with Ben Volin and Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News on Monday. Just keeping up with the other teams. See if they can keep up with those teams in the standings. Well, it was just about 5 weeks ago that right here in the studio, we looked across the table and had Grover Cleveland High School product, UB product, Stephen Mean sitting across from us. And what do you know, 5 weeks later, he is a draft pick. He was drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Saturday, fifth-round pick of the Bucs. And Stephen Means is on the line with us live right now. Stephen, congratulations to you.
Hey, I appreciate it so much, man. I appreciate it.
Best news of Saturday, that, as far as I'm concerned. I do wonder if you're big-timing us because you were in studio 5 weeks ago. Now you can't come in. You got to do it over the phone. Is that really what...
No, not at all. I'm just spending some time with the family right now.
I don't blame you. Yeah, and from what I can tell, you got to be down there this weekend. They got a rookie camp this weekend in Tampa?
Yeah, we head down there tomorrow. You know, I fly out tomorrow morning.
Interesting draft for the Bucs, Stephen, as you look at it, and I'm sure you were following the draft pretty closely. You were the third of three defensive linemen that they chose in a row. Bang, 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 right? Did you see that, how they did that?
Yes, sir. I watched the whole shebang.
Did you have a feeling that Tampa was the team that was going to get you based on what you did?
You know, I really didn't know who was going to pick me. I couldn't be prouder to be, you know, in Tampa Bay. But you know, I'm definitely happy with the selection they made and with the trust that they had in me, you know, to pick me in fifth round. You know, it just says a lot, and I'm going to go out there and show these guys how much I appreciate it.
You know, I know that you had a pretty good pro day here right over in the field house, but from what I've read, you also had a private workout for the Bucs, right? Was that after the pro day?
Yeah, it was actually a couple weeks ago, like about a week before the draft, about like 2 weeks before the draft. But, yeah, you know, we worked out, and, you know, they liked me a lot.
They come up here to work you out up here in Buffalo, Stephen?
Yeah, they flew out. They flew out here to come work me out.
Scouts or some assistant coaches, or who was here?
You know, I don't want to say the names, but we had a scout and we had a coach. We had a scout and a coach up there.
Okay. Yeah. So, anybody? Did you have any other teams that gave you private workouts other than Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I worked out. I had worked out for the Bills, and I worked out for Green Bay. I mean, I worked out for the Eagles.
Sorry. Okay. All right. So you obviously had some interest in you. Did you go into the draft last weekend thinking it was going to be day three, or were you hoping it might be Friday, rounds two or three? What were your expectations going into the draft last weekend, Stephen?
You know, I actually just let God take it over, and I really didn't really worry too much about it. The second day I had went, and me and my family, we went to Dave & Buster's, and I was at Dave & Buster's almost the whole night. So, you know, I let God take it, and I put it in his hands and trusted him with everything. But, you know, the third day we was watching it, and, you know, I was just so excited, you know, when I got that phone call.
Yeah, that had to be a great moment. Who was with you when you got that call?
I was with my family, you know, just family. I was over here at my house. Family was with me.
You know,
that was just...
We were talking about the pro day and the private workout you had, and I wonder if you thought there was something that you did during those workouts that maybe, you know, got you up there in the fifth round. I mean, you ran about a 4.640 in the 40-yard dash on your pro day, right? 4.6, 4.7?
Yeah, I ran a 4.6. But, I pretty much just feel like I just opened some eyes. with all the adventure they had us doing.
We're talking with Steven Means, the linebacker drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, fifth-round pick last Saturday on his way down to Tampa this week. Tomorrow, as a matter of fact, for their rookie camp. I saw an interesting quote from Tampa Bay coach Greg Schiano when he was asked about you, Steven, over the weekend. He said he's going to be a defensive end. He's going to rush the passer. I mean, it sounds like he knows exactly what he wants you to do, at least as a rookie for the Tampa Bay defense, huh?
Oh yeah, you know, I'm definitely I'm ready to go down there and do whatever they need me to do and just do whatever I can to contribute to the team. So whether that be defensive end, outside linebacker, kicker, center, whatever, you know, I'm just ready to go down there and give them my all.
I also saw you were quoted as I guess talking to the Tampa media that you don't like to be touched. You don't like when offensive linemen get their hands on you. Talk about that. What did you mean by that, Steven?
You know, I grew up in an environment, you know, an urban area, but I don't like people touching me. So, you know, when the offensive line is trying to get a hold of you, it's probably the perfect position for me. You know, they try to hold you, and I don't like being stopped from doing something that I want to do. So I want to get to the quarterback, and they in the way of me doing that. And I just don't like being touched at all.
So how do you avoid getting touched? Do you run around them? Do you use speed to get around offensive linemen?
Everything, you know, from speed to hands to power, you know, whatever I feel like I can do to that certain opponent, or if I got to do all things, or if I got to set it up somehow. But, you know, I do whatever I can to get off.
Hey, have you heard from Coach Quinn or many UB people or even Grover Cleveland people since you were selected last Saturday, Steven?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, it's been so much support, and I appreciate everybody in Buffalo showing me support. I talked to Tony Alessi from Grover.
Yep.
I talked to Coach Quinn, Coach Jaffe, Coach Jack. I talked to everybody from UB. I was actually up there today. I went there 2 days ago for a press conference, but you know, Tony Alessi from Grover, Richard Pizak from Grover, Ryan, so a lot of people from Grover reached out. And everybody all over Buffalo been reaching out, still reaching out. I just appreciate it.
You know, and obviously UB still in the process of building that football program, but guys like you get drafted fifth round, and even, you know, you look ahead to Khalil Mack, who's likely to be drafted next year. Those are significant steps forward for the Buffalo program, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. We're definitely moving forward progress, and, you know, we got a lot more to come to the table. You know, we got guys like Khalil Mack, Brendan Oliver, Alex Mooch, even Kobe Wade, he's going to open a lot of eyes this year. We got a lot more guys that's going to be league ready, and it's going to continue to build from this point on.
Hey, Steven, one name that jumps out at me, I was looking at the Tampa Bay coaching staff roster. Brian Cox is their pass rush specialist. Are you aware of Brian Cox's connection with the Bills over the years?
Not at all. Not really that connection, but I know he used to be real. I know that he's real good friends with Jaffe Oliver.
Uh-huh. You know that he once walked out on the field here in Orchard Park and flipped the bird to the crowd, right? Did you know that?
No, I didn't know
that. Yes, well, make sure you bring that up when you meet him this week. Make sure you bring that up right out of the box. See how that? No, you might not. But when you make the team, you might want to bring it up. Yeah, he is really, among longtime Bills fans, I think regarded as one of the all-time enemies of the Bills when he played with the Dolphins. He walked out on the field at Ralph Wilson Stadium one day and flipped off the entire crowd. It was great.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's back in the old, that's, you know, old school NFL. What about special teams? I'm sure the Bucs like the fact that you were credited with three blocked kicks during your tenure at UB. And that's got to be something you could probably jump in and contribute right away with Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah. You know, like I said, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. So special teams is going to be the big part. It's going to be, you know, just me running down the field and me doing everything that they trusted me to do. And, I'm definitely ready to go do that, you know, contribute to all aspects of special teams.
I wonder, since you were drafted Saturday, Steven, if you took a look at the Tampa Bay schedule and maybe circled Sunday, December 8th on your schedule.
Oh, yeah. I definitely know we're going to be playing the Bills that day.
Yeah, that could be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be real fun.
Well, Steven, we wish you the best of luck. You're leaving tomorrow. You said the rookie camp is this weekend down there in Tampa. What are your plans? I mean, just to get into the playbook and figure out what this NFL thing is all about this week? Is that what you do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I'm diving headfirst in the playbook. As soon as I get it, you know, I'm just going to go and give it everything that I have.
We wish you best of luck. Stay healthy, and we'll talk to you soon, Steven. Good luck down there.
Okay. All right,
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Steven Means, linebacker for the Tampa Bay Bucks, defensive end at UB. And, again, Greg Schiano, the Tampa Bay coach, was asked, I think it was Saturday after they drafted him, you know, what role would Means play? Is he a linebacker? Schiano's quote, he's going to be a defensive end. He's going to rush the passer. Pretty straightforward what the Bucks have in mind for Steven Means. And, yeah, Brian Cox is the pass rush specialist coach. That's his title for the Tampa Bay Bucks coaching staff. The former Dolphins linebacker who has bounced around the league as an assistant coach for several different teams now, and he is the pass rush specialist coach now for Tampa Bay. And Brian Cox, I'm sure, will get some hands-on experience with Grover Cleveland High School product Steven Means, the UB defensive end, who had a great career with the Bulls. 18.5 sacks during his UB tenure. Now he's going to take his talents to Tampa Bay, Florida, to see if he can help the Tampa Bay defense. Our thanks to Steven for joining us tonight. 5 weeks ago, I looked it up. It was back on March 29th when he came into the studio, and we talked about possibly being drafted, possibly being a an undrafted free agent signee. He was good with all of it, and there he is on Saturday, fifth-round pick of the Bucks. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to get to some more phone calls when we return. We are particularly interested in your thoughts on what's missing now, what holes are left on the Bills roster. Is it offensive line? Is it guard? Is it tight end? Are they okay with linebackers? The draft complete. The college free agents signed for the most part. The roster is, if not totally set, at least pretty well set. And what, in your opinion, is missing from the mix as far as the Buffalo Bills are concerned? Phone lines are open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can always reach us via Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
A couple of minutes before 9 o'clock. We're on 7 to 9 again tomorrow night, and a good show coming up tomorrow night. We think. We don't know. Marquise Goodwin, the Bills' third-round pick, is going to join us tomorrow night. Bill Barnwell, who is a very thoughtful writer from Grantland.com, covers the NFL. He'll be with us tomorrow night. And Luke Tasker, another Western New Yorker headed to the NFL, the son of Bills special teams H, Steve Tasker, signed a free agent contract with the San Diego Chargers. Luke Tasker scheduled to join us tomorrow night as well. You've got time to join us right now on the phone lines, 803-0550, the number, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. We were talking earlier about what's missing, what's left, what holes are left on the Bills roster. Is it offensive line, the fact that they did not draft or sign in free agency a guard? Are you worried about that? Are you worried about the tight end position with the uncertainty about Scott Chandler's situation? Linebacker, are you satisfied with that? What's missing? What would you do? What did the Bills neglect in the draft and in college free agency this past week? 803-0550, the number to call with your responses to that. Here's Butch on the east side. Hello, Butch. How are you?
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate that.
Sure.
I got two things, Murph. I didn't know you was going to have Steven Means on as an interview, but let me explain. I teach school for a living, Murph, and I had a young man who was the head coach at Benton High School named Steve McDuffie.
Yep.
And Steve McDuffie used to be work with at Grover Cleveland High School with Steven Means when he was young. This was way before he got to UB. And he spoke highly of the young man when he went to UB. He was very proud that he got the scholarship to go to UB. But, Murph, I live in Cheektowaga, Murph, and at the exact same time, I went to a store in over by Kensington in Harlem. It's a little plaza there. It was a young man working the counter. And he was kind of tall and kind of big. You know, I had braids in his head. And I said, you know what? I said, that's a young man. I said, you go to college? Yeah, I go to UB. I said, what's your name? He said, my name's Steven Means. And I said, this was about maybe a few months ago, Mark. And the guy was working hard, you know, and he was a humble type guy and very nice kid. And I said, you know what, a friend of mine, one of my colleagues used to work with. I told him the kid's name, Steve McDuffie. He said, yeah, I know Coach McDuffie. And then I said, well, you know what, I said, what's going on with you? Well, I'm waiting to see if I get drafted in the NFL. And when I watched the draft, Murph, the other day, and I saw this young man get drafted, I'm not going to lie to you, as a grown man, Murph, tears came to my eyes. Because I watched this young man be so humble, working the counter at the checkout line.
Wow.
Just a few months ago. Being humble, working his job like everyone else, you know.
That's
and
great.
Now to see him get opportunity to go to the NFL and actually live his dream, Murph, I know for a fact that he's going to stick and he's going to do well at Tampa Bay.
That is great,
Murph,
No, that's a great story. I'm glad you called in with that. My first exposure to Stephen Means came 5 weeks ago when he came in to do the show, and I was teasing him about not coming in tonight big time in this, but I was really impressed. I mean, kind of an engaging guy, smart and upbeat, and I really liked him when he came into the studio 5 weeks ago. That's a great story you tell, Butch. A couple months ago, he was a clerk in the store?
Murph, I'm not going to lie to you. It's May 2nd. I'm talking about I was at this – I'm going to say this store is called a dollar store. The dollar store right there next to my bank, Bank of America, right there at top on Kensington and Harlem. The young man was working the counter there. And I walked in. This is about maybe March 28th.
Okay.
March 2nd. And I was very humbled by the young man because he's working, he's in school. And the man said to me, he says, I'm going to go to try to get to NFL. Hopefully I get drafted. And when I says, you know what, young man, by you working hard like you're doing now, working a 9-to-5 job, I believe you are going to get drafted, and I hope the best for you. And I told him about Dominic Cook, how he was like a friend of mine's son. And he said, yeah, I know Dominic. And I was like, yeah, you know, he's a good kid. You know, he's doing well for himself now working at Buffalo News. And I told him, I says, you know, I hope you get drafted. And he says, you know, I hope I do too. And now to see the man get drafted, Murph, I shed a tear. Tears came to mind because I just saw this man working just checkout line in a dollar store. You know, Dollar Tree, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was working hard, Omar, but I'm proud of him. I mean, I didn't even know he was going to be on your show, but I was waiting. While you were talking to him, Murph, just now, I was so proud of the kid. He says he's going to work hard to show Tampa why he drafted him. And I said to myself, while I was waiting for you, Murph, that I believe this kid because I saw how he was working hard just at the checkout line 2 months ago. A lot of kids get big-headed. And they get uppity because they're about to go to the NFL. They feel these jobs are beneath them.
Yeah.
This kid was working a 9-to-5 job like a McDonald's job, taking pride in his job, and not bragging about what he's about to do, but hopeful that he was going to do it, and he actually did it.
That's a great story.
Back to my second question. I'm going to listen to the rest of your show. Is that, you know, the Buffalo Bills are in a situation now, Murph, where you've been calling this game with Van for years, not just by yourself, but with Van. You actually watched our roster on the turnover. And Buddy has stuck to his, you know, people can talk about Buddy Nicks all they want. He has turned his roster around. With Rex Brandon taking charge this year after Ralph Wilson, you know, I really believe Fryer's in the wide receiver core and everything else. Like, the offensive line, I'm going to believe in the guys that they know what they're doing, Fryer's the people that they already have on the roster, that, you know, they can find somebody to fill in that left guard, that hole. And if they can't, they can hold on to it to next year's draft. But anyway. But at the exact same time, the wide receiver core that we have, along with these running backs that we have, and I believe Kevin Cobb, everybody's forgetting about Sabaris Jackson.
Hey, Butch, we got to wrap it up. We're almost out of time here, buddy.
Real fast. I'm sorry, Murph. I didn't know about talking about Stephen Means, but E.J. Manuel, Murph, I'm going to let you go. Needs to sit for 2 years. The whole West Brandon and Buddy Nick stick to the plan. Let the kids sit for a while, like Jim Kelly said. Let these other veteran guys play and let this guy learn. And when it's this time to play, Murph, he'll be ready to go, and you're ready to call us play-by-play like you always do.
All right, thanks, Butch. Thanks very much. Yeah, well, that's one opinion. Some people think, you know, somebody pointed out maybe he's the next, you know, Russell Wilson next year. We'll see. I mean, you got to get to the rookie camp next week and the mini camps and see how it all plays out. But it certainly, I'll tell you what, it makes the preseason a lot more exciting to have a first-round quarterback in the mix and to see how quickly he picks things up and to see what he can do. If you're interested in E.J. Manuel, I know you are. Again, I have a plug for our website, buffalobills.com, a tremendous video piece of E.J. Manuel's first day as a Buffalo Bill, going back to his selection down at Radio City Music Hall. Mike Adamack of our digital media department was down there in New York for the draft and has exclusive behind-the-scenes video of E.J. Manuel, his first day as a Buffalo Bills. You want to check that out at buffalobills.com. Back on the air tomorrow night with Marquise Goodwin, with Bill Barnwell and Luke Tasker, as we said. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO. Family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer tonight, Pete Cargis. Our producer, the maestro, Russ Burton, and the Bills director of broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. We'll see you tomorrow night, 7 to 9, The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.